So we are very fortunate to have His Grace Shyam Sundar Jagannath Das Prabhuji on the call to enlighten us on the topic of glories of Srila Prabhupada. Before handing over the call to Prabhuji, I just want to read some introduction about Prabhuji. Shyam Sundar Jagannath Prabhuji is an initiated disciple of His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. Prabhuji is serving in Mayapur, looking after the finance and accounts. Earlier on, he had worked for about 17 years in Dubai, Middle East, before he moved full-time to serve ISKCON. He has also served in ISKCON Kolkata and Pune temples before he moved to Mayapur. I welcome Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances and all goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for joining the call, Prabhuji. I'll just hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. So, we start the class from this auspicious day of Srila Prabhupada's Tirobhav. First, I'll sing the Jai Radha Madhava song. Jai Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Jaya Goti Janavallava, Jaya Giridhara Dhari, Jayo Giridhara Dhari, Jaya Koti Janavallava, Jayo Giridhara Dhari, Jayo Giridhara Dhari, Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana, Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana, Asana Pira Vanachari, Yamuna Pira Vanachari, Jayo Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Shri Shri Hari Naam Sangeet Ki Jai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Jai. Welcome everybody to this class which will discuss the auspicious life of Srila Prabhupada, how it has molded and shaped the devotional aspect in this earthly planet, and what we can learn from his action. So we can start off by meditating deeply on the meaning of Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya, Oda Mangalacharam. With a sense of gratitude to our spiritual master and senior acharyas in our parampara, praying to Rupa Goswami, who understood the mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Manovistam, offering obeisances to all the acharyas coming in the disciplic succession, Vandeham Sri Guru. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that all our Siksha Gurus, Diksha Guru, Varma Pradaksha Guru, etc., they are all identical. So in that sense, we are surrounded by spiritual masters. A lot of devotees around us are our teachers, guides, etc. from whom each one of us can learn something. I want everybody to get into this mood of appreciating our senior acharyas in our parampara, so that we will be able to better absorb what Srila Prabhupada has given to us. Again, continuing on this Mangalacharan theme, Sadvaitam Savadutam. Advaita Acharya, who is the pillar of our Sangeetan movement, like that we also pray to Sri Radha and Krishna, Lalita and Vishaka, calling out to them to be in our midst, so that we can pray to them to allow us to enter more deeply into the holy name. So as we chant the Mangalacharan, we can think about these aspects which will enable us to appreciate the finer aspects more deeply and pray for the mercy of our acharyas. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Nilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Dhamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam. The translation of these two verses are, I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter on his lotus feet? Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitamscha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master and unto the feet of all Vaishnavas. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami along with his elder brother Sanatan Goswami, as well as Raghunath Dasa and Raghunath Bhatta, Gopala Bhatta and Srila Jiva Goswami. I offer respectful obeisances to Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, along with Advaita Acharya, Gadadhara, Srinivasa, and other associates. I offer my respectful obeisance to Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna, along with their associates, Sri Lalita and Visakha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute. Oh my dear Krishna, you are the friend of the distressed and the source of creation. You are the master of the gopis and the lover of Radharani. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Saptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. I offer my respect to Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold and who is the queen of Vrindavan. You are the daughter of King Vrishabhanu and you are very dear to Lord Krishna. Vanchalpatarubhyascha kripasindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaisnavebhyo namo namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who can fulfill the desires of everyone, just like desire tree, and who are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned soul. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi and all others in the line of devotion. With this background, we can meditate upon what Srila Prabhupada has done for each one of us, for the whole humanity at large, by looking at certain critical aspects of his preaching mission within a short span of 12 years and contrasted with the humongous achievements which in ordinary case would take many lifetimes for ordinary mortals to achieve the same thing. What Srila Prabhupada had achieved within his short span defies imagination. And it also proved that yes, he was an empowered incarnation. I mean, he had been fully empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach the glories of the Holy Name throughout the world, irrespective of caste, creed, or status in the society. While it may be impossible for us to fully examine the persona of Srila Prabhupada, especially within this time constraint of about, I think so, 45 minutes is what we have today, we will endeavor to look at a few select qualities or traits of Srila Prabhupada and how he implemented them. That is how he sort of walked the talk, whatever he preached, how he sort of implemented them, and which will enable us to shape our devotional life and help us to remain steady in the practice of devotional service, as well as to shape others' lives with whom we come in contact. This is very important, that we remain steady in our practice of devotional service, because the allurements of Mayadevi are pretty strong, and whether we could be living in any part of this world, but Mayadevi has its own bag of tricks to take us away from the path of devotional service. But then Srila Prabhupada, his life and the examples he set, that could remain as a trailblazer for each one of us to see that yes, we remain fixed in this path of devotional service and not get trapped by Mayadevi at any stage in our practice. Before we examine the traits, I would just like to lay the background as to the role which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu played in giving to us Srila Prabhupada, how he predicted. A few years ago, we celebrated the 500th anniversary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entering Vrindavan. And in India, even the government of India celebrated that event. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had declared that he would preach all over India himself, but he would send his devotee to spread his message all over the world. This is written in the Puranas as well as in the book about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, in the Chaitanya Mangal particularly, it says that Narada Muni went to the spiritual world and expressed his concern about how the people of this materialistic Kali Yuga would get delivered. And Lord Chaitanya said that he will incarnate and spread the chanting of the holy names. I will reach all over India, and my Senapati Bhakta, 500 years later, would preach all over the world. But this has been predicted in the scriptures. Now, about 3 years ago, when the 50th anniversary celebrations of Srila Prabhupada going to the West was being celebrated in Calcutta, India. His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, he pointed out this fact that the Srila Prabhupada embarking on his preaching mission is not an accident that Prabhupada went to the West exactly after 500 years of appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to fulfill the prediction made by him. That is, Srila Prabhupada went exactly at that time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted in Chaitanya Mangal. And Mahaprabhu, as we all know, had stated, Prithivite ache jato nagaradi gram, sarvatra prachar hoibe mora naam. Which from Bengali translates to that in each and every town and village, my name would be spread. Now we come to the qualities which Srila Prabhupada had embodied in this time when he started the preaching mission, as well as before. And that time began from 1922 when he met his spiritual master Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1922 in Ultodanga, Calcutta. Incidentally, the place where Srila Prabhupada met his spiritual master in Ultodanga, that has been taken over by ISKCON Kolkata. And any time when you are visiting Calcutta on the way to Mayapur, etc., please take time to visit two places. One is Srila Prabhupada's birthplace, which is about 7 or 8 kilometers from ISKCON Calcutta, and this place in Ultodanga, which is about, I would say, roughly about 12 to 14 kilometers from ISKCON Calcutta. The devotees of ISKCON Calcutta will help you navigate these two places, which incidentally are located diametrically opposite to each other in the city of Calcutta. One is in the south of Calcutta, which is Srila Prabhupada's birthplace, and it is Ultodanga, is en route Mayapur from ISKCON Calcutta. So I would request all of you to try and take time out and visit these places. Of course, this is not maintained in a very high-flying fashion, what you would see monuments in the West, but still, this has a very important significance for each of our practicing sadhakas. We could meditate on that place, we could chant a few rounds, because that is where literally the seeds of our movement were laid. So, meditating on the words of his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Unless Srila Prabhupada met his spiritual master in 1922, and he got the instruction. He got two primary instructions. One is to preach to the devotees in English, because he himself was conversant in English. And the other is to print books whenever he had money. Now these two simple instructions on a standalone basis may not have amounted to anything significant, but to an ordinary person. But Srila Prabhupada took it to his heart and meditated on these two aspects constantly from the time he got them in 1922, thereabouts, to the time he was ready to take the plunge into full-time preaching, which happened nearly 35 years later. So this shows that for this long period of 35 years, Prabhupada did not forget these instructions which he had received. Now, this intervening period of 35 years, as we all know, Prabhupada was running his family business, which is the pharmacy business, and he was also taking care of his family. But he kept meditating as to how to fulfill these instructions which his spiritual master had given him. And of course, the fulfillment arose with a little nudge and push from Sri Krishna, where his personal affairs turned out to be materially unsuccessful, and his wife also not be entirely favorable to Krishna consciousness. He left everything and set out to fulfill the instructions of his spiritual master at a ripe old age, when most of the people put up their legs to retire. He was... So this is an example how we as practicing devotees should constantly meditate on the instructions of our spiritual masters. Actually, one very important instruction which we may have received at various times from our spiritual masters is that each one of us, the spiritual masters, may require help to help him in propagating this mission of Srila Prabhupada. So we could meditate on this and see how best we can help our spiritual master, so that this movement of Srila Prabhupada grows and grows constantly, so that the benefits of this can reach all the corners of the globe. So the first point was about meditating on the instructions of his spiritual master. The second point is about the bhava or the mood which the Pope exhibited for taking up this huge task of preaching in the Western world. Srila Prabhupada, when he got this and he was about to embark, he realized the enormity of this task of preaching in his language to the people of the Western world. And that struck him with even more force when he found hardly any takers for his message when he started the movement in India. People were taking Krishna for granted, and they did not give him any credit. Once he was about to embark on his preaching mission to the West, prominent places where Srila Prabhupada visited to pray intensely for being able to fulfill the vision of his spiritual master was Rupa Goswami's Samadhi in Radha Damodar's temple in Vrindavan, and the other is the birthplace of Advaita Acharya in Shantipur, West Bengal. He cried intensely at both these places, begging for their mercy so that he could do something for his spiritual master. His spiritual master had given him this enormous task of preaching, and he realized how futile it is in this age of peace when everybody was involved in breaking all the four regulative principles. He realized what is the huge uphill task he was. Thereafter, when he went to US, that was also fraught with difficulties. Firstly, he was not able to get a passage to the West. As nowadays, all we do is to buy a ticket, get a visa, and off we go. But those days, he did not have these facilities. He had to beg literally for a seat in a cargo ship, a prospect which none of us would undertake now in the current age. Eventually, Srimati Morarji obliged him for a place in their cargo ship, which was by no means an easy journey, sailing in a cargo ship. Secondly, he had to contend with two heart attacks during the journey. But in order to encourage Srila Prabhupada to continue his journey, Krishna personally appeared to persuade him to continue the journey, and that he would take care. So, because Srila Prabhupada had so much faith in his spiritual master's words, we can see how the Lord reciprocates even under desperate conditions. When the Jaladuta arrived in New York Harbor 37 days later after sailing from Calcutta, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada was utterly alone. He had come to America knowing one, with absolutely no visible means of support, and with only a meager handful of possessions which he had carried on board. He had no money, no friends, no followers, not his youth, good health, or even a clear idea of how he would accomplish his far-reaching objective, that is to present the spiritual knowledge of the Vedas to the entire Western society. In fact, in one of the comments made by Srila Prabhupada to his disciples later on, he said, "When I first arrived in your New York harbor, I did not know whether to turn right or left." Now, that the enormity of this sentence, you can understand as to what Prabhupada was confronted with when he is landing on the shore of a strange country, a country which he had never visited. He did not have any idea, like what we have at the click of a button today. In the internet age, we can know anything about any remotest part of the world. He did not have that kind of a facility. He lands in this country, he has no friend, and he does not know whether to turn right or left. And that is something huge. In a poem written in Bengali just after his arrival, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada expressed his humble faith in Lord Sri Krishna and the special instruction of his own spiritual master, who had intended him to spread the teaching of Krishna consciousness throughout the English-speaking world. He had written in that poetry, "My dear Lord, how will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will feel certainly engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life." Now, you can see from these few lines that is how he was depending on the mercy of not only his spiritual master but also Lord Sri Krishna when he had embarked on this. This prayerful mood remained with Srila Prabhupada at all times, even after he had struck quite a few successes in the form of temples being established and having a large number of followers. Never once did he become complacent about his achievements, so much so that he continued to pray to the Lord to protect.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
हरे कृष्णा सुंदरी ललिता माता जी हरि देव
in the holy name. He had complete faith in the holy name, and this is how he started off, by chanting in the Tompkins Square Park with no one to support him in that endeavor. That complete and unflinching faith in the holy name was the basis for securing the initial set of devotees who came to help Srila Prabhupada in his preaching movement. And that is what we all need to develop, this faith in the holy name, that yes, this is the panacea for all evils. That is what needs to be established very firmly in our heart. The next one is the spirit of serving. The initial days when Srila Prabhupada reached the West were the toughest, as not only did he not have any Lakshmi for his sustenance or for writing the books for spreading the movement, but he also did not have a proper place of stay from where he could preach. Yet his spirit of serving whosoever came into contact with him was uppermost in his mind. He would cook for all of them and serve them, and after they have finished partaking of the prasad, he would remove those very plates they had eaten and wash them, while the devotees who took prasad would just walk off, not knowing the etiquette of honoring prasad, leave alone honoring a spiritual master. There is a saying in English that love begets love. When the initial band of devotees saw that Srila Prabhupada was there not to take anything from them, but only to give them love, did they open up their hearts to him in return. So the spirit of serving the devotees is also something which we can learn from Srila Prabhupada. Another facet which is equally interesting is that when he set out to make devotees and disciples, he knew where to compromise and he knew exactly where not to compromise. Like, quite often he came across the plea from a few devotees to relax at least one or two of the four regulated principles. He was very firm. He said, this is one aspect that I cannot compromise. It doesn't matter if I do not get devotees. Even if I get one devotee who follows all the four regulated principles, that is more than sufficient. But no compromise on any of these aspects of four regulative principles. On the other hand, he knew exactly, like if you see a traditional Indian culture, one cannot get a Brahmin thread if one has not been born into that family of Brahmins. Whereas he knew that yes, he had this objective of his movement, but then the disciples who could conduct themselves in a Brahmanical fashion were entitled to get the Brahmin thread. So he knew where exactly to draw the line between compromise and enforcing of principles. And that wisdom is something which we can also pray, that yes, we should know how fast to drive the car under certain circumstances, and when to drive the car in a sedate manner. That wisdom is not something which we are born with, but then we would be endowed depending by our spiritual masters as well as the Lord, depending on the strength of our own sadhana. And along with this, no compromise on the adoption of regulative principle is his personal life. All the while when his disciples were maintaining the places of preaching or temples, he conducted himself in a very disciplined way. Not only did he maintain his sadhana unwaveringly, but he also devoted himself. He found a time within his various engagements to translate and write books as was ordered by his spiritual master. And he took time out for this very important activity of translating and writing at the unearthly hour of post midnight. He would sleep for hardly about 2 to 3 hours a day and immediately thereafter refresh himself, finish his rounds, get to chanting the Sanskrit books into a language which can be understood by the common people in the society. So he did this without compromising at all. And only because of this rigid endeavor on this part that we are able to reap the benefits of this, of his sacrifice. And I've often heard that, yes, he did this translation. I mean, for him, this was a very important activity. And he did this whether he was in Melbourne, whether he was in Calcutta, whether he was in Mayapur or Vrindavan or Bombay or New York or wherever. His function or his activity of translating books as instructed by his spiritual master continued irrespective of whatever kind of difficulties he faced. So these are certain aspects which I don't have the knowledge to judge Srila Prabhupada in his entirety, but I just picked out these 3 or 4 aspects by which we can also shape our own devotional life and thereby follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. Now, what was Srila Prabhupada's achievement? As we all know, he started off in 1965, and when he left this planet in 1977, he had spread the teachings of Krishna consciousness to every major city in the world, had formed an international society comprising thousands of dedicated members. He had established 108 temples with magnificent estates spread across 6 continents and had circled the globe 12 times personally. 12 times to personally guide the membership of his broadening mission. As if this was not enough, accomplishment for a person proceeding from his 70th to his 82nd year, Srila Prabhupada had also translated and written and published 51 volumes of books in 28 different languages, tens of millions of which had been distributed throughout the world. He also gave elaborate instructions on prasadam distribution in various occasions, be it a pandal program, a temple program, or a preaching center. Prasadam is to be prepared. In fact, he sort of went to the extent saying that, yes, there should be cooks always ready. They should cook this much amount of bhoga for the Lord, serve, eat as prasadam. Anyone who once comes into the temple should be served prasadam, not in small microscopic quantities, but sumptuous quantities. I mean, he gave very microscopic instructions to his disciples. And he saw to it that, yes, it was implemented. He had delivered thousands of lectures, written thousands of letters, taken part in thousands of conversations with followers, admirers, and alike. And he had won the esteem of hundreds of prominent scholars and social figures who had genuine appreciation for Srila Prabhupada's contribution to religion, philosophy, and culture. So this astonishing story of how Srila Prabhupada achieved such a marvelous result in 12 short years is actually far beyond what we can attempt to discuss in this 45 minutes class. So that was then. Today, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness comprises more than 500 temples, farms, schools, spiritual communities, special projects throughout the world, and maintains a worldwide congregation numbering in millions. Well, Prabhupada would still say that yes, this is small by what he wanted to achieve, especially he wanted to establish Dai Varnashrama Dharma and spread this teaching mission to all over the globe. And that is where we as practicing sadhakas can help him in spreading this teaching mission all over the world. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or comments, I will try to address them to the best of my knowledge.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept a number of visitors. Prabhuji, I would like to know the connection between Boston and New York. When Prabhupada landed New York or Boston first? I'm a bit confused on that.
He landed in Boston and he was taken to New York. But incidentally, when he landed there, he was literally had no bearing as to how to proceed. So this is what I had read in the Lilamrata. But the point is not that, you know, that what is the kind of a difficulty he faced when he landed there and not get overwhelmed by any of those difficulties, but to continue his teaching mission as was requested by his spiritual master. And that is the point which we need to appreciate, because even in our own teaching mission, we would encounter various shapes and sizes of difficulties. And the fact to take heart is that, yes, there is someone above us who's watching the integrity of our endeavor, and thereby he facilitates that endeavor. That is what is more important. That not to be get overwhelmed by any of the difficulties which may be presented before us. But yes, as you pointed out, yes, he landed in Boston, and he literally had no clue as to how to go ahead, where to go, etc.
Thank you, Prabhupada. Harish.
Thank you, Prabhupada. I have not been able to cover all the aspects of Srila Prabhupada's personality, just a few ones, which I thought we can imbibe in our daily teaching mission. It would help us to remain fixed in this path, particular few aspects which we discussed.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the wonderful class. All the best to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, I'm not able to hear you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much for
yes,
the wonderful class.
Yeah, now I'm able to hear.
Are you able to hear? Thank you for giving me
an opportunity to glorify Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Matiji.
Dandat Pranam. I have a question. I'm sorry I missed that topic. Would you please say that again? It's Prabhupada with like a Prabhupada know where to compromise and not to compromise. Sorry, I missed that topic. Would you please say that again? That line.
So.
Hari Ram, Hari Ram,
Hari Ram, Hari Ram. Hari Ram, Hari Ram. Hari Ram, Hari Ram. Hari Ram, Hari Ram.
Compromise. Draw the line where to compromise and not to compromise.
No compromise on the adoption of regulated principles. That is what you are asking, Nataji?
Yes,
like when Prabhupada set up his movement, he was very clear that yes, once you become a disciple and subscribe to this mission, you cannot be obeying, say, three regulated principles and not obeying one of them. Like all the four regulated principles which we know today, they were not at all present, even in minute quantities, in the West when Prabhupada went there. So he was uncompromising on that aspect. He said that yes, this has to be adhered to in full or nothing. So, and he could make them understand the reason as to why each one of the regulated principles is important to be adhered to so that you can become a full-fledged devotee. Else, Maya Devi will trap you. He was very clear that this compromise cannot happen in these four regulated principles. And even aspects like coming up for Mangala Arati and you know, attending the morning program, prasadam distribution, all those. Like for instance, I remember that there was Guru Puja happening in a temple and the altar was also open. The main altar was also open. When Prabhupada was being glorified in the Guru Puja, some of the devotees were looking at Radha and Krishna and admiring their outfits and they were not attending the Guru Puja. He stopped that. He stopped them from whatever they were doing and insisted that they attend the Guru Puja himself. And he explained to them the reason for adherence to this and the reason for obeying the spiritual master, glorifying him, what is the benefit they will get. So like this, Prabhupada knew when to come down heavily on them to see, to enforce the principle so that they become good devotees, as well as how, where he could relax certain areas. Yes, okay. Like if you are sick, possibly, yeah, there could be a few relaxations here or there. Then otherwise, as practicing Padata, especially all those who were young in age as compared to Prabhupada, he insisted, and that insistence and that discipline which he enforced in his disciples is going down to us as benefits, because those people, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, now they are bringing about that kind of a thought into us and shaping our lives in the service. So that is very important to be able to discriminate as to where we can relax and where we should enforce. And that discrimination is given by the law and the spiritual master. It all depends on the mercy of the spiritual master, that discrimination. I hope I've been able to answer that question, Madam.
Yes, thank you, Prabhuji, so much. Please forgive me if I made any offense. Hare Krishna. Wonderful class. Thank you, Prabhuji.
So I hope that all devotees are taking the opportunity to reach out to new devotees in this auspicious month of Kartik, so that anybody who is not attached to this movement could get an opportunity to offer a lamp to Lord Damodar and reap the benefits. Those benefits may not be apparent immediately, but then those benefits are there permanently for that particular individual who has offered this simple lamp to Lord Damodar. And that responsibility is given to each one of us as practicing sadhakas, that we bring this knowledge to those people who do not have this idea of what are the kind of a benefit which they can get in this auspicious Kartik month.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Yes.
Thank you very much for giving me an opportunity, Mataji, and to all the devotees there, that I am in my small status could glorify this huge personality of Srila Prabhupada. Of course, I have not done justice to all the factors which Prabhupada displayed. But these are some of the areas where we could take inspiration and try to in his footsteps. Thank you very much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I just wanted to express my appreciation for a quality of Prabhupada's that you that I feel that you brought out today, which for me was that.
Thank you, Mataji.
The quality that I was appreciating today is that by Srila Prabhupada's example, he taught us that even if we have no idea how we are to go about carrying out the order of the spiritual master, that should not be a deterrent. We might be clueless about what to do, but the most important thing is that we want to do it, and then Krishna will reciprocate with that desire somehow. You know, so I just feel like, you know, when we are struggling, as I am so much in my spiritual life, this example, I think, is probably very important, that, you know, we not be discouraged just because we don't know how to carry out the order of the spiritual master. We should just being desirous or sincere about wanting to is enough for Krishna, and he will respond as he did with Srila Prabhupada. So thank you for sharing this story to bring out what, well, that's what I got anyway. I don't know. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any other questions or comments, Mataji?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Augusta Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very beautiful and nice class, Prabhuji, on the auspicious day of disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada. And I request other devotees also, if they have any offerings for Srila Prabhupada, Yeah. Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
What happened to her?
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, Prabhuji, thank you so much for the class, Prabhuji. And I request other devotees, if they want to give the offering for Srila Prabhupada, they can go ahead and read their offerings, please.
Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji and Mataji, all that I wanted to say is thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for showing us all the ways, all the knowledge you have given to us, and all the guidance you have given to us, all the services that were taught to us. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru and Gauranga. I just want to thank Prabhupada for showing us Krishna path. Even though we stay in India, we know everything, but we don't know who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in my family. I never know who is Krishna. But after coming here, I saw Bhagavad Gita and I learned about Krishna. This is only because of Prabhupada. I really thank Prabhupada for giving us this wonderful opportunity in country, America. Thank you so much, Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much. Yeah, there is one very interesting pastime of Prabhupada. My daughter will share. Yes.
What? I forgot that story. So there was one story with Srila Prabhupada and how he was so compassionate to one drug addict, basically. So in, I don't remember which area, but Prabhupada used to go to this temple. I don't know, Los Angeles maybe. He used to go to morning walks and everything in this little neighborhood. And in that neighborhood, there lived like a drug addict. And he was a homeless, probably like 17, 18-year-old, person. And he used to live under the bushes in that neighborhood. And the devotees used to call him Pigpen because he was so dirty. And, you know, he used to live in the bushes. And he couldn't properly talk or anything because of all the drugs he's been taking. So one day, like, Prabhupada was walking in that area with Indadu Maharaj and some other of his few disciples, and Pigpen, he comes jumping out of the bushes, and he tries to grab hold of Srila Prabhupada's feet. But one devotee, he stops Pigpen, and he grabs Pigpen by, like, the arm, throws him back into the bushes. He says, "Oh, you're too dirty. You cannot touch our spiritual master's feet." And they throw Pigpen back, and they continue on their way. In the morning walk. So the devotees were really scared because they weren't sure what Pigpen was actually like. And that's why they were always like, because they live very close to the neighborhood, they were always very careful not to let Pigpen enter the temple or anything. And they used to give him prasadam in the bushes, but they never let him enter the temple or anything special like that. So before, whenever they go on morning walks, they always have to lock the temple door. And so one day, they are walking with Srila Prabhupada, and then one devotee realized that he forgot to lock the door of the temple. And then he immediately realized, oh no, maybe Pigpen has entered. So after the morning walk, they go back to the temple, and they see that Pigpen's in the temple. And they try to drag Pigpen out, but Pigpen escapes. He escapes the devotees, and he starts running towards Srila Prabhupada, and he grabbed Srila Prabhupada's feet. And one devotee, the same devotee, he's he was about to take Pigpen again and throw him, like, out of the house. But throw him out of the temple. But Prabhupada, he was like, no, don't touch Pigpen. So the devotees don't do anything to Pigpen. And while Pigpen's holding Prabhupada's feet, Prabhupada like gently strokes his head and says, good boy. And then after that, like really, you know, intimate reaction with Pigpen and Prabhupada, Prabhupada tells the devotee to go clean Pigpen up, like, you know, give him a kurta, put him in dhoti, give him a bath, comb his hair, you know, make him look fresh. So they take Pigpen, you know, to the room, and they clean him, and they give him a bath, and they put dhoti on him, and dhoti kurta, and then they take him in outside, into the temple room. And Pigpen starts to serve with, like, deity worship there and everything, but he still couldn't speak. So when he started chanting, but he couldn't pronounce properly because, you know, all that drugs he's been taking has ruined his voice, and he forgot, he doesn't speak properly. So, like, he's not able to communicate. And one day, he started learning a few words when he entered the temple. Like, he started, you know, slowly speaking again. So one day when the devotees were going on Sankirtan, like, to do book distribution, Pigpen, he starts following the devotees, and he says, I want to come too. But, like, I don't know how he said it. But he said in, like, a really, you know, deep, he can't speak, so he didn't really say it to an understanding level. But he's like, I want to come. And the devotees are like, no, Pigpen, you can't even speak. How can you do book distribution? And then Pigpen was very adamant, and he takes his bag of books, and he says, I want to come. And he jumps into the car, and the devotees couldn't really do anything about that. So they take Pigpen into the middle, like, downtown street, and they park the van, and they decide to take some rest, have some prasadam before going out in Sankirtan. But Pigpen, right when the car stopped, he jumped out of the car and ran away with the books. And the devotees were really scared. And they were like, oh, no, where is he going? And, one of the devotees said, it's okay, he'll come back. He'll get scared and he'll come back. But Pigpen, he didn't come back. After 2 hours, when he finally came back, all the books in his, like, little book bag was gone. So the devotees were like, Pigpen, what did you do with the books? And he said, like, I give them away. And then the devotees were like, but how did you, like, distribute them? And Pigpen said, I said, Prabhupada, save me. And, like, they took the books. So he just, when he distributed the books, the only words he said was, Prabhupada, save me. And people were so touched that they took the books. And then later on, he actually learned how to speak better. And he was a great preacher, and his name was Prasad Prabhu. I think he passed away already. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mataji. I really like this pastime. That's why I asked Ashura to share. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Mataji. The offering that I would like to make is my appreciation for the fact that Srila Prabhupada was so compassionate that if he knew while even still in India that his coming here would save only just one of us, whether it's you or me or, you know, just any one single person, if he knew that that was the only saving that he could accomplish, he would have still gone through all that he went through to do that. So, you know, I really appreciate, and I feel like Srila Prabhupada or Super Soul gave me that understanding in a particular way one day. And so I really appreciate the fact that knowing that, you know, if Srila Prabhupada knew that I was the only one he could have saved, he would have still undergone all the austerities that he went through to do that, to enable me to establish my relationship with Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Just I want to share one point. This month is Damodar month. It is also called Kartika. Kartika is name of Sri Mati Radharani. Whatever acharyas and scriptures teaches us, whatever spiritual practices we are sincerely performing during this month, especially in Vrindavan, we are specially blessed by Srimati Radharani. But our Prabhupada explained that wherever there is a temple or we are sitting together, where all the devotees are gathered together in a common spirit, or speaking about Radha and Krishna, and chanting the glories of Radha and Krishna, and serving in the mood of Vrindavan, that place is also called Vrindavan. So this conference is Vrindavan. This is all because of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada gave us that much confidence that how we can serve Krishna, ultimately to reach Supreme Lord. This is because of Srila Prabhupada. I am very thankful to Srila Prabhupada for giving me Krishna path. Because of him, we all came to know about Krishna and everything. So, thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Please accept my humble obeisances. This is Komaliki Dasi. I wanted to share one how Prabhupada has saved me. I've read so many books and so many hours we were reading. My husband also and me both. But then until I found, when I was working in a lab and one of my co-workers, she gave me the Krishna book. She said she was in the mall and somebody was asking for donation. She gave a donation and they gave her the Krishna book. Part one. That had just come out like that. So then she started to read, but she couldn't understand. So she says, because I was talking about Krishna, so she brought the book there and the work, and she gave me the book. And so I said, oh, thank you. It's very nice. Then she said, yes, because you were talking about Krishna. So then I thought, I tried to read, but I could not understand. But then I thought I can give you. So then she brought me. And I read the book. It was so wonderful. Before that, I was thinking, I know Krishna. Yes, I do. I know Krishna. But when I read Prabhupada's book, then Prabhupada just opened my eyes wide. Wow. Because I never knew all these, so many things about it. I just knew the Krishna and was a very attractive personality. And also thought that maybe there are so many gods, but then this is the one. It's very attractive like them. And another way also, like in Bhagavad Gita, I was reading, and in the Mahatma, it described that if you chant the whole Bhagavad Gita every day, then you get certain benediction. If you chant one chapter, well, you get this benediction, and half a chapter, you can get this benediction, like that. And then one place, it says there, I think it's one chapter you read, then you get to stay, live on a moon for 10,000 years. So then I say, oh, wow, this is good. So then I was reading every day, one chapter every day. But it was just like a parrot. I did not understand a word. But it also says in Mahatma that if you just go on reading and chanting on this Bhagavad Gita, and if you don't understand and just reading like a parrot, you don't get any benefit. But Prabhupada is so merciful that he gave me this Krishna book through another person, one from here, the local person. And so then by reading Krishna book, it just changed my life. And then we found the temple here also. The devotee invited us. So then we went to temple. The devotee was waiting for us to go there and welcomed us, and she took us, you know, very nicely. And I also made some halwa to offer the Lord. But that time I didn't know anything that they will not do it. But anyway, I didn't know. So then she said, well, this is a good day, we should just bring. So I made some halwa and bring it to temple. And so then they just took and then put it inside. I said, okay. And I thought that will be distributed also for prasadam, but it didn't come out. So then I asked, when will I get the prasadam? So that prasad means, you know, I had understood that just like a little sweet thing, little thing. Anyway, so then they finally gave me, they offered the Prabhupada and they brought it out and they gave. So in so many ways, Prabhupada has saved me by the prasadam, the book, philosophy, Krishna consciousness. And most of it is like this Bhakti Sangha. Bhakti Sangha. Japa group. I'm getting so many benefits. I get to hear so many devotees, very nice, very, very exalted devotees. And they are giving very wonderful nectar and classes. And not just the classes, it's nectar and it's teaching how to become more and more involved in the Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much, all the devotees. Please accept my humble obeisances. All the rest of Guru Maharaj, Prabhupada, and all the devotees. Hare Krishna. And thank you, Shama Gaudi Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Kaumudiki Mataji, to getting the point. Like, even I agree with you. Without Srila Prabhupada's movement and the path of Krishna consciousness, nothing is going. I just jumped. I don't feel like, or I can't imagine myself reading Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. So I thank Srila Prabhupada for this movement, for he started. Without his mercy and compassion, I am not able to do all this and hear all the lectures in this conference call and getting the association of all the devotees, like very good to Sadhu Sangha. Thank you so much, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanu Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. So nice, everybody is glorifying in the very auspicious day. Gamadika Mataji, Lavanya Mataji, all the devotees. Just want to thank Srila Prabhupada from my core of the heart, because we could, even though I had little desire, I had little interest in spirituality back in my country, but I never know, what kind of demigod. When I used to go temple, Shiva temple, any temple, I didn't never know I want something. I just go there, pray, and I want to love. But everybody used to ask something from God. And I thought, I need to ask with something from them. And then by heart I was thinking, oh, I should not ask also whatever they will give. But I never know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. My mother, she is a devotee of Krishna. But I never understand why they are worshipping Krishna so much. She used to tell me to read Bhagavad Gita. And I also got Bhagavad Gita from different sampradaya. But I never realized this is they didn't give clear clarification how Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, and how we are part and parcel of the Krishna, and our only duty to serve Krishna. That was I never know, and how this material world is so misery, and how can we get out, and how this Mahamantra is so powerful. These things I never know, but when I came here, when I got the opportunity, I saw all the Prabhupada mercy and all the devotees who are preaching everywhere, you know. And then in the house program, we went there, and then I could not understand in the beginning what is what also, but devotees were so nice. They used to serve prasadam like anything, and their behavior so love, and their behavior is so loving and caring. You cannot find anywhere this kind of behavior, even in this. Even though some want to cheat us, if we go somewhere, if we want to get the friend, we cannot find the friend like devotees who are very loving, caring, selflessly. They are trying to serve everyone, and that was very impressive. Even in the beginning, the philosophy I didn't know, even though I have little interest. But slowly when I got to know, I started to hearing Srila Prabhupada lecture. Everything was clear. All the questions, whatever, why the existence, why we came here, why we need to go back, all the things in Prabhupada book and his lecture and everything, and devotees, that is so nice, and we are very, very thankful to Srila Prabhupada. And our life is completely changed. Otherwise, when I came here in the beginning, I had Asra was with my husband, me, and then Asra came. And when I saw everything, this country is very developed, means materially. But culture-wise, I didn't like, because the culture, how we grow up and how the people are growing, their grow up and their culture is totally different. So I could go back my country, because if I didn't get this ISKCON, if I didn't join Krishna ISKCON, I could go back and I could grow my daughter in the Nepal only. But when I came immediately Krishna's mercy, I got contact with devotees, and then it was very easy for me to teach Asra also from the that time, what is our culture and then what is Krishna consciousness. So nice, and we are our whole family. We are very, very thankful, and we are very much really missing. At the same time, we are getting so much of benefit through the this conference call and his book. He's always there, but we are always missing his physical body. But still, we are. Same time, his spiritual life is something very special. Even same time, we can feel the Prabhupada presence with the devotees. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you for arranging this call. And then everybody is this hearing was so wonderful, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji, for the very, very beautiful class. And thanks to all the devotees who are sharing so beautifully, very, very heart-melting offerings to Srila Prabhupada. I just had one thing to say, that this life has been meaningful.
Mataji, your voice is very small.
And happy and content only
you're
because of
very small, Mataji.
What Srila Prabhupada has given us. I often think, if I hadn't come into this process of Krishna consciousness, how horrible life would have been. So I'm very thankful to Srila Prabhupada for everything that he's done for all of us and for all the devotees, the association, the books, pretty much everything that we have in life today is only because of Srila Prabhupada. We have a meaningful and a purpose. We are very happy, we are very content. Everything, every second, every minute, worthwhile only because of this process of Krishna consciousness. So I feel very grateful. And of course, this Bhakti Sangha Shepa conference is a very, very, very big blessing. It is covering all aspects of Krishna consciousness for most of us. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. And thanks to all the devotees who are sharing so wonderfully. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji, and thank you everybody, and thank you very much. Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
No, we cannot.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Mataji and all the Matajis and Prabhujis on the call, and thank you so much. I would like to glorify Srila Prabhupada little, like if Srila Prabhupada, one day myself and Lalitangi Mataji, we were going around the houses and doing the Damodar Aarti, and I was remembering the life before coming to Krishna consciousness, how we spend time for doing some nonsense things. So Srila Prabhupada has given us a process of chanting and practicing Krishna consciousness. So because of that, our life is so busy and we are doing something which is valuable. Otherwise, we were before that we were doing something and it's like a nonsense. So thank you so much, Srila Prabhupada, and for us, you have taken so much efforts and so much you have done for us. So thank you so much, and please bless me in on this day, like I should help in the in the moment. I should do some service. So thank you so much, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Mataji. Hare Krishna. Yeah, if everybody's done, then we can end the call.
Hare Krishna Mataji, I would like to speak some few words, if that's okay. Hare Krishna Mataji, can I speak some few words?
Yes, Mataji, go ahead.
Thank you, Mataji. I just wanted to thank Prabhupada for changing our life. He has made so much of difference in the past 11 months since the time I have come into Krishna consciousness and got us out of doing all the things which were not supposed to be doing, got me out of the laziness, and kind of really turned the life around and brought in so much of peace, so much of joy in our family, so many problems got resolved, and got lots to learn, lots to do, so much to accomplish. But just trying, taking some steps, but being in association with all the devotees, I've never ever got this feeling. I used to go to the temple once in a while, some other temples, but from the time I've come into Krishna consciousness, we're going to the ISKCON temple every Sunday, attending all the at least twice a week Bhakta Vrikshas, and it's like a family, as if I knew them years and years ago. And all thanks to his movement that we've come to know all this. Thank you so much. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to say something. Hare Krishna.
I think we can end the call here. If nobody has anything to offer, to talk. Let's play our obeisances to all the devotees. Vancha kalpata rupyascha kripa sindhu pyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.